Welcome back, everybody, to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew, and I am once again here in the friendly confines of the Holy Cross Institute down here at St. Edward's University in lovely Austin, Texas. And once again, I am joined by Dr. Richard Bouch, who is the director of the Holy Cross Institute here at St. Edward's. And we have talked before about the Institute proper, and so we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive today into a recent pilgrimage that Dr. Bouch and the team led here to Canada. And we're going to get into the inspiration and why Canada and all that good stuff. So, Dr. B, thanks. Appreciate your time and appreciate you joining us again.
Absolutely, Tom. It's great to have you back at the Holy Cross Institute, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
That's awesome. So we teased a little bit, a pilgrimage to Canada. So for those of our listeners that maybe this is the first time they've ever heard about the Holy Cross Institute, talk a little bit about your inspiration behind the pilgrimage itself.
Of course. Happy to. So we are the Holy Cross Institute. And Holy Cross is actually a congregation within the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So the Congregation of Holy Cross originated in France, 19th century, came to North America pretty quickly. One of the important early sites was Montreal, mm-hmm. Canada. So there's a historical thread there. And the most important thing, though, is that in Montreal, the Holy Cross brother, Brother André Bessette, lived, performed incredible ministries and even miracles, mm-hmm. on behalf of the people of God, lived an incredible life, and has really left his mark on that town. So he is buried there, and when we make a pilgrimage to Canada, we're going specifically to Montreal, mm-hmm. we're going specifically to the Oratory of St. Joseph, where we have the tomb of Saint Brother André.
Yeah.
And just to get help people just understand his special significance, Holy Cross has been going strong for over 200 years.
Yeah.
One person has been made a saint in all those years.
Really?
And it's worldwide now. Huh. And there's one person. He's right there. Yeah. We're looking at him. His icon is here in the Institute. It's Saint Brother André.
Yeah.
So there's something very personal and very powerful about that spiritual connection that a pilgrim finds, really discovers,
yeah.
when they go to Montreal and they go on Mount Royal to this massive Basilica, the Oratory of St. Joseph, mm-hmm. and when they finally get to the tomb of Brother André, it is a moment like none other.
Wow.
I saw that with our pilgrims when we yeah. went in October, almost to a person.
Yeah.
Something extremely special happens.
I want to get into. We'll get into that certainly. Where besides St. Joseph's Oratory, were there other places in Montreal that you went to?
There were, yes.
Yeah.
There are some. There's a number of really wonderful Catholic churches that are mm-hmm. there. Let's start with the cathedral, dedicated to Our Lady,
mm-hmm.
As Queen of the World. It, too, is a very large structure. It's right in the middle of downtown
yeah.
Montreal, and it is. You could spend a day there,
mm-hmm.
Between everything that is there, the statues, the altars. You almost feel like you're in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome because it even has, the main altar has a baldacchino that
wow.
looks just like Bernini's baldacchino at St. Peter's in Rome. It clearly was modeled after
sure,
it.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
so there's little touches like that. But Tom, there's also, we spend a whole day, the better part of a day, walking through the city of Montreal, going to these different churches.
Wow.
There's the Basilica of Notre Dame, for example,
mm-hmm.
And it too is just stunningly beautiful inside.
Mm-hmm.
There's a side chapel there where we celebrated Mass together with our chaplain.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes far beyond the oratory, which is, like mm-hmm. I said, built literally on Mount Royal. You can spend a lot of time throughout Montreal
mm-hmm.
Nourishing your Catholic faith
yeah.
through pilgrimage.
And remind me again, y'all were there 4 days?
We were there basically three days.
Three days.
With two, you know, a day for travel on the
front end and the back end. So, how many folks were on your pilgrimage this time?
We had 12.
12.
Yes.
And this was your first first foray, right?
Indeed. It was.
Yeah. So, talk a little bit about the planning and the preparation. Were all the 12 pilgrims from right here in Central Texas on the campus, or they're from all over?
They were from different places.
Okay.
Yeah, they were from different places. So we worked with a tremendous partner, Verso Ministries, mm-hmm. which is out of Indiana. And so they have all the logistics, and they have the infrastructure and the tech, you know, to promote it well, and then also to handle registration. But remember, at the Holy Cross Institute, we are connected with 25 Holy Cross high schools, colleges, and universities around the country. So we sent word out to all of them, and as a result, we had pilgrims from California who were with us. We had pilgrims from Indiana who were with us. And, of course, we had pilgrims from right here in mm-hmm. Texas and mm-hmm. St. Edwards who were part of the trip, which made for a wonderful blend of different people with different perspectives and a common core, faith.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, was 12 a deliberate number, or is that just what it broke out to be?
I guess we just have to call it providential. you know, ideally, we would have more. This was our first one, so we kind of, you know, we achieved that critical mass, which was really good. And maybe it was better because it was our first time. So we were finding our way to an extent. And so, you know, 12 was a good number for that. But going forward, we can definitely hope for anywhere in the neighborhood of 20 people.
I was going to say, do you have like a particular goal, 20, 25 people?
Yeah,
that you'd like to take. And we'll talk a little bit more about the next trip. So when you get into describe for, you know, our listeners who aren't familiar with Canada and Montreal in specific, just talk about, you know, being in St. Joseph's Oratory, where St. Andre Bessette, and for those of our listeners that know anything about Holy Family in Copper's Cove, the name ought to sound familiar since that's where our Adoration Chapel is named after. So, yes, it's the same Andre Bessette, St. Andre Bessette. Anyway, so talk about where, you know, his burial site is and the oratory itself.
Sure, sure. So as I mentioned, you know, for years I always thought of the city Montreal, but you don't really think about the word itself. But if you break it down, it's Mount Royal. Mm. And there literally is a beautiful mountain. It's not massive, but it's mm-hmm. right in the middle of the city. You know, there's this big mountain. Huh. And so, as I said, the oratory is built on the side of it going up to the top.
Okay.
And the history, though, is fabulous because down at the base, right there, at the base of the mountain, mm-hmm. Across the street, there's a school that has been there for hundreds, close to 200 years itself. And this is where Brother Andre began.
Wow.
His ministry, and to be perfectly honest, he was someone who had physical ailments, mm-hmm. and he was lightly educated. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. what they did was they gave him the job of porter. He was at the front door. Mm-hmm. He was opening it and welcoming people who came. And, you know, every day, hundreds of school kids came and anyone else. He came into contact with so many people and spoke with them. And that's where the ministry emerged, where those who were sick would sometimes do his intercession. And he would always invoke St. Joseph and, of course, the Lord himself mm-hmm. for healing. But people started to experience healing. Mm-hmm. And since his youth, since he was a boy, and he was an orphan, by the way, he had a close connection to St. Joseph. Mm. So, by the way, just a little bit of trivia, St. Joseph is also the patron saint of Canada.
That's
so
right.
That's kind of neat. Yeah, it's very neat. But he would look across the street, and he would see this mountain, and he said, "Someday, God, let there be a great church to your honor and to the honor of St. Joseph, and may all this only grow, but always to your glory." And that was his dream. And so what they did was they allowed him initially, and at this point he's like 50 years old.
Okay.
They allowed him initially to set up a little shrine You had to take a path up the mountain,
uh-huh.
and where the trees parted, he put a statue of St. Joseph, and he put a little shrine there. And lo and behold, people started coming there, and they just wanted to be by St. Joseph and pray. So the next step was they built a little altar there, and they would celebrate Mass on occasion. They'd have a priest go up there, and the people started coming. So they built a larger altar and put in seating. You see where this is going.
Yes, yes, yes.
It is incredible, though, to think that over the course of 40 years, his vision evolved and kept growing through the grace of God. And it was, you know, and he was well in his 80s when he passed in 1936. And at that point, the basilica was well underway.
Wow.
The lower church was built. They were, you know, always looking for ways to find the funding to build the next part. But... you know, it's really something that what you see there now is the fullest expression of this saint's vision.
Yeah,
yeah. For people to come there and simply to experience the grace of God's love and God's healing, if that was what's needed. And just like at Lourdes, you will see hundreds and hundreds of crutches and, you know, that sort of thing, the sign that a holy person has been here and that healings have taken place.
It's amazing, though, that he got to actually witness the groundbreaking, you know, of the pledge, I guess, he made to our Lord, you know, about building a shrine there.
So, absolutely, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And at one point, you know, they were in a real pickle about financing the roof. They they needed to get more money to put the roof up. And finally he said, just take a statue of St. Joseph and put it up there in the beams, and it will all take care of itself. And it more or less did, you know.
Yeah.
So he was, he had incredible faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a man of immense and intense prayer.
Okay.
A true holy man.
Yeah.
He was praying all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And when not, he was visiting with people, counseling them, and, as I said, often healing them.
Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing person, an amazing man, and I just... I love hearing the stories of the saints, and, you know, especially a man like St. Andre Bessette, who's just truly exemplifies that childlike faith in God, you know, that, hey, I'm going to let you do it, and I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to let you do it, and you just keep pointing me in the right direction, and we'll make together we can make sure it all happens.
So, exactly. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. Well said, Tom.
So the oratory now is built, as you said, on Mount Royal. And so where in the church is St. Andre's crypt?
Yes. So
you go ahead.
Yeah. So you go virtually to the top, and there's stairs. Now they've just added escalators and even elevators. So, but you go up to the top. So the highest portion is the basilica with the huge ceiling.
I see.
And, you know, just through there is the crypt area. And what it reminds me of, if anyone has been to Assisi and to the burial of St. Francis, it reminds me very much of that.
Where
you actually go into, it's a secluded sort of area. It's all, there's not a lot of windows. It's, you know, it's just this nice brickwork. And you kind of go around to the back, and it's simply right there. So it's not ornate. It's not overexpressed. Because really, it's the spiritual, it's the spiritual experience that's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for your eyes; it's for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we would go in there, and I remember the first time we went in as a group of pilgrims, and you know, like I said, people were visibly touched. Mm. You know, you could see that. And then one of the last things we did on the third day, you know, as toward the end, was we went back there, and everybody had the opportunity. And at that point, people went and, you know, spent several minutes praying right there at the tomb. And there you could see. It was almost slain in the spirit kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, people were really changed by it, you know. So that was...
Now, have you been there before? Had you been there before the pilgrimage, I mean?
I had.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I had been there.
So you had a little bit of familiarity with the ground and whatnot. That probably helped a little bit in your, not just leading the pilgrimage, but also in your planning and preparation leading up to it. Any any hurdles, any major hurdles that you had to kind of crawl over, or maybe lessons learned that that's gonna project into your next pilgrimage?
Well, I appreciate the question. I felt like, you know, there was a priest there, a Holy Cross priest, Father Jamon Caladanthio, mm-hmm. who I had met with on previous visits. And so we arranged, and he met us on day one and gave us a tour, which is just tremendous.
Yeah.
So I felt like, thanks to Father Jamon, we were we were really well taken care of. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I don't think there were any, you know, hiccups or hurdles or anything like that. I think the thing that, you know, folks should be sure to try and do is just kind of take in all the different parts. It's it's funny because, you know, you're in a relatively small space, but there's so many different things that you can see. I mean, you can go across the street to the school where he lived, and you can, you know, kind of see that. And it's funny, at one point, they even, because it was getting too crowded at the door, they had him move to a little, it was sort of like a bus stop on the street right there. Literally, it was a little high. There were trams. So he was inside there doing what he did, you know, counseling and healing. That building is still there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, the important thing is to sort of know the story and be able to kind of like connect the dots and go to all the different places, even that spot where they had, you know, the more primitive chapel that they had. Mm-hmm. They still have that, you know, but you have to know to go off a little trail. Bit like that. So, but we had a really great group of folks and really and very easygoing. So
any particular stories or inspirational moments that maybe came from some of your pilgrims or, you know, that you'd like to share?
Well, I think, you know, when we went to Mass there, and Father Jamon had Mass for our group, and that was very special. And he brought out, it's a relic. It's a relic. It's a bit of cloth with the blood of the saint still visible right there, and that we could go up and venerate that and receive a blessing from him.
Wow.
And, you know, that was arguably, you know, the high point, you know, certainly a high point, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, that was really nice. But to be perfectly honest, that whole Mass that we celebrated together was just joyful from the beginning all the way through. You know, the songs that we sang, the hymns that we sang, the readings, we really seemed to come together as a group. And I'm sure folks who, you know, have made pilgrimage have had that experience, how when you pray together, especially in Mass, that is something else.
Yeah. And especially at a place like this that carries so much weight, whether personally or across the depth or breadth of our Catholic faith, is immaterial. So, so as you were, and I guess everybody flew to Montreal, right? And then were you kind of traveling around on a bus? Did you have like a little bus that y'all traveled around on, or?
We did. We had a bus part of the time, and when we were in the city, we would also just do what we call Uber, Lyft.
We could do
it that way too. Yeah.
And then did everybody stay at the same hotel generally?
So
in the evenings there was opportunities for fellowship and did y'all have common meals together and things like that or?
Yeah, we had breakfast together every morning, and we would put the tables together, and we'd do a little sharing while we ate breakfast, which I think was really very nice.
Yeah.
And then usually lunch, we would be out together, so we would, you know, have lunch together.
Mm-hmm.
And then dinner could go either way. Sometimes it would be just dinner on your own, and then, you know, folks tended, like we had a group from California, two groups actually, or a group from Indiana. So, you know, they might go, or they might meet up with some others and then go out for a dinner, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of free time.
Yeah.
For the most part, we were together and shared a lot of meals together. Certainly, when we were leaving that third day, we had a special dinner that we were all together in one of the nice restaurants in Montreal. Yeah. So, which is a fabulous city too. Yeah. It may be one of the best kept secrets. So folks are just looking to go and just to see a really charming city that evokes Europe. Mm. Montreal's the place, you know. Yeah. So
now, in terms of, I'm going to show how little I know about Canada. Montreal is not the biggest city. Right? Is Toronto the biggest?
Or I believe Toronto is. Yeah. Yeah.
Sidebar. Anyway. Okay. So. So, are we getting ready to go to do it again? Are we? I mean, you had such a great opportunity, great time. And to remind me again, you went in January. Is that right?
I went in October.
In October. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And we are already making the plans for the next pilgrimage, which will be in October of this year, 2026. It'll be October 7th through 11th, 2026, and registration is already open.
Wow.
So folks can go and get on it right now if they want. Registration is open, and we're promoting it. It's going well. We'll have registration through July 1st.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's even time to consider it and get more information if you would want, and then pray about it, and hopefully we'll see you there. And you'll be with us.
and where can folks go to find out more?
So I think they can go to...
Is the website on the little card here?
It is, yeah. We've got...
Oh my gosh, it's one of these that's really, really long. Yeah, that's, as much as I love QR codes, sometimes they get really long. But the easiest thing for folks to do really is just to put in your old search engine,
Holy Cross Institute. Right, yeah. And then go right to our landing page, and then from there you see it and you can click and even get through to registration. Yeah,
takes you to a subpage, I guess, within Verso Ministries, who, as you mentioned, is your pilgrimage experts
right.
That are helping you coordinate all this stuff.
No, they go all over the world. Yeah. They're remarkable. So,
how did you find out about them? Is that a company that somebody recommended to you, or
they a number of them, including their president. Have been through Holy Cross schools.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. So there's a connection.
Yeah. And the Verso partner who was with us, her name was Maureen. She is a graduate of Holy Cross schools and comes here for convocation
every
year.
Keeping it in the family.
It works out. Yeah. It works out really well. So, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So pilgrimage to Montreal with the Holy Cross Institute, October 7th through the 11th. 2026. So, and tickets are registration is available until July 1st. Mm-hmm. So go to just search in your favorite search engine, Holy Cross Institute here on the campus of St. Edward's, and there'll be a connection there to get you to all the information page about not just the pilgrimage, but about the institute here. In the larger St. Edward's University. So, Dr. Bouch, we got a couple minutes here before we gotta bring this episode to a close. Any final thoughts about your maiden pilgrimage, and maybe what you're hoping to accomplish with your next one?
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say that about 2 or 3 months afterwards. We had occasion to meet up with some of the pilgrims.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was at convocation, by the way. So they were here in Austin. And it was really heartwarming to go and hear them speak, even publicly, about the experience that they had had and how deeply moving it was. But then also how when they went back home, and a number of these people work in schools with our youth, and how they were more energized and they were really able to speak about not only Montreal and Saint Andre, but about the saints in general, and saintliness and holiness. It really added a lot of depth mm-hmm. to everything that they did mm-hmm. in terms of their ministry and their teaching.
Yeah.
And that's what we pray for. That's what we hope and pray for, is that, you know, not only are we transformed, but it becomes this transformative force that goes forth from us. And, you know, more and more people know the most important thing: God is alive.
Amen.
God loves us, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's an evangelization tool.
It is.
At the end of the day.
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. And we are the message.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
When you go on pilgrimage, then you become that message. You bear it. Mm-hmm. With everything that you do, your example.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, folks, so Holy Cross Institute is the place to go and look up your pilgrimage to Montreal, you know, October 7th through 11th in 2026. So you've still got a little bit of time to plan and pray and make your reservations to join the Holy Cross Institute in Montreal this coming October. Dr. Bouch, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to have to check my calendar. I definitely am interested, and I'll have to check with the boss too. You know, she gets a vote. But this sounds really, really fascinating. And again, because of our connection to St. Andre Bessette, it makes it even more interesting for me personally.
So. That would be really special.
Yeah.
That would be tremendous. And Tom, thank you for having me today. Thank you for the time to speak, that we could speak together about this. As you can see, it's near and dear to our hearts.
Amen.
And we hope that, you know, through God's good works, many, many more come and join us.
Yeah. All right. Holy Cross Institute, Pilgrimage to Montreal, October 7th through 11th, 2026. Thank you very much, Doc. And folks, remember, if you missed some or part of this episode, or if you want more information about Holy Cross Institute itself, you can always pick up our past interviews with Dr. Bouch and the team here on our website at Armor of God Radio. Just click on that schedule tab, and there you'll find, underneath there, you'll find our hometown hero section, and all of our podcasts are listed in there. So check that out. Check out more about Holy Cross Institute. Come on a pilgrimage to Montreal. Learn more about Brother Saint Andre Bessette. And remember to put on the armor of God.